You're listening to the Customer Centric Show with Mel Telesikin, where we talk with successful business owners and experts to share smart ways to attract more customers, profits, and freedom by thinking about customers first. Now, here's your host, Mel Telesikin.
Of Retail Rockstars. Amy has a wealth of experience in marketing and retailing, specifically the appliances industry, 18 years in fact. Before moving to Australia from the States, Amy was international marketing manager of the then Fortune 500 company Maytag, an appliance brand that we know here now as Whirlpool. For the past 8 years, Amy and her husband have owned a Good Guys electronics and appliance store, one of the most successful in Brisbane. She boosted her store and other stores' profitability by ramping up the customer experience. So today we're going to learn just what's involved in experiential retailing, and Amy is the perfect person to tell us all about it. So great to have you with us, Amy.
Thank you, Mel. Thanks for having me.
Now, we start the show by asking everyone, what's your example of a business that you believe is customer-centric, and give us your reasoning for why?
Sure. Well, one of the businesses that I thought I would bring up is special in my sort of experiential way, I guess, as well as super customer-centric. And I'm sure you've probably seen examples of it. It's called the American Girl Store.
I haven't actually.
No?
No. Oh, tell us about
amazing.
It.
It's a fabulous retail environment, and it is completely centered all around the parents and the little girls, you know, that go in there. Now, I have a son, so that I suppose that kind of says a lot, that I'm impressed with the store and I can't even go in and get anything. But it is a little girl's wonderland. They have a doll station, a doll hospital, a little place where they put the dolls and they do their hair, and the kids can even get matching outfits with their doll.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know. Can you believe it?
Cute. Yes.
So I suppose that's really an example of, you know, being super customer centric, but also bringing in that amazing experience into a retail environment where, you know, they just kind of put the customer front and center.
And so is it a big store?
They are pretty big. A lot of them even have a cafe, like a little restaurant in the back.
So that's got to be a clincher for parents who, you know, potentially their kids want to have a look around. It's easy for them to go and have a seat at the cafe at the back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, what they do is they do, you know, the full show. So they actually like if it's a little girl's birthday, you know, it's a really big deal. They put the doll in a chair and
So do groups go in, like groups of kids go in, say for birthday parties and all get their doll done up, or is that the model?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
right.
They do that. I mean, it's a regular retail space. And then in the front of the retail shop, you know, they've got all the dolls and all the different outfits and shoes and things.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you kind of walk to the back of the store, they have these different little, like I said, a doll hospital. If anything breaks on your doll, they fix it.
I see. Right.
And yeah. And they have a doll salon, like I said. And they've also got like a really casual cafe kind of thing. And then there's some of them have quite a fancy little restaurant out the back with linen and the whole nine yards.
Right. So there's actually a reason to revisit. So you can't, ideally,
yeah,
you buy your first product from there and you're tempted to come back, give your doll a haircut, right? Or get it fixed or repaired. And so, yeah, so it's taking care of all those sort of post-sale things that other retailers aren't thinking of, right?
Right.
I like it. I'm going to have to check it out now. I've got a son too. No girls, but I'll still check it out. Now, thanks for explaining that because, keen to have a look at that one. Now, your experience is very vast. You've had this huge amount of experience in the appliance store, the appliance space. Can you give us some background into how you ended up building your new business or newer business called Retail Rockstars and how it all came about? Because I love this story. I know this story and I'd love you to share it with our listeners.
Sure. Sure. Well, I'm a marketer by trade. So I've been in the appliance and retail marketing space for, like you said, over 18 years. So that's kind of my thing. We also, like you mentioned, own a Good Guys store. And so some of the things I started seeing within our store was I started really seeing a lot of disengaged customers. Our profit was decreasing at a fairly, alarming rate for a while there.
Yeah, because the overheads don't change, right?
No. And so I was kind of looking for ways from a marketing standpoint, putting my marketing hat on.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for ways to really engage with these customers. And I just had, I just had this feeling that we really needed to go further to build this sort of deep engagement locally with our customers. And that's when I started, I approached a couple of chefs, and I suppose in the early days there wasn't a whole lot of, I wasn't that innovative with some of these first shows that I put together. But the idea was basically to have an event or have some kind of a demonstration inside the store to bring customers in and kind of specially invite them and. Give them some sort of knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
And so I started basically doing an experiment inside my own store. And much to my surprise, it was amazingly successful. We had customers lining up saying, "Oh, that was so fantastic." And you could see the look on their face. They sort of expected to come into this event and be, I suppose, sold to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they were really, really appreciative. And that's sort of where the whole idea began about doing experiential shows inside a retail setting.
Right. Because the whole idea of someone demonstrating, for example, on a basic level has been around for a while in retailing. So you really, I expected you had to really separate yourself from that in that taking that hard sell out of it was, I guess, the surprise element for the people who came along if they're used to experiencing that elsewhere.
Yeah. And I think, I think the other thing as well is, really making it a bit of an adventure. So a lot of people wouldn't think of, a cardiac specialist or a heart specialist. What in the world does that have to do with an appliance retailing store? But it works. So we have
Can you explain to us what happened there? Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I'm intrigued.
So Angela Jackson.
Yes.
She's a heart, natural heart health, I believe is the name of her business. And so she has her own methodology all around creating and maintaining a healthy heart, keeping off medication for cholesterol and high blood pressure and those types of things. And, there's several different ways that she goes about doing that, regular exercise. And she, talks about Fitbits and all that kind of stuff. She also puts on a cooking demonstration and talks about, high nutrient foods that can really, pack a punch for, getting that heart healthy. So we have lots of, older customers that would come in and, they're very excited to see something like that. And it helps them in their life, to be healthier and to do those things. So again, I think going back to the demonstration example that you gave before, I think it's really important when you're looking at doing an experience in store or an experience for your customer. You don't have to be a retailer. I think anyone can have an experience.
Mm.
But specifically in a retail environment, I think you do need to be a little bit, you need to have some imagination and really try to make it just that much different, because
yeah,
you're trying to differentiate yourself anyway from your competitors. So why not make it a real experience
yeah
for the people that are there?
And so you're doing it too on interest levels, aren't you? So there's people who are at a time in their life where heart health is potentially an issue for them, or maybe there's a history in their family. And
sure,
so if you are promoting that as a, you know, information education session, and and that there are products available, but just bringing together that knowledge, then that really is a massive value add for a portion of your potential clients or potential customers, yeah?
Absolutely.
So if you, there's the heart health one. I love that. I think that's brilliant. I'm just sort of – my head's spinning with other ideas, because it's really about thinking next step, isn't it? It's not just what you can do with it. It's having a whole conversation around how this is part of a greater outcome.
It is. And what it really is it's all about – putting the customer first. I mean, what's best for them? I think as retailers, we tend to be fairly centric to ourselves. And I'm sure our customers would agree, you know, pretty much all we do is, you know, have TV commercials on, you know, this is the product, this is the price.
Yeah. Sort of that push marketing style.
Yeah, come shop with us. Or we send out an email, hey, we've got a sale on this weekend.
Yeah.
Want to eat, come down.
Yeah, the traditional.
I'm trying to sort of tip that on its head a little bit and say, you know, what can we give back to them? And with doing so, as you would know, I'm sure you've got data as well. When you are truly customer centric and you're really thinking about what's best for them, it definitely has you know, it's a profitable thing to consider.
Yeah, it's just going through that process. And I think when you say too, you know, we're somewhat centric in our business, we have a business to run. We have people we employ, people we're responsible for, but ultimately nothing will exist without looking after your people. And
that's
so,
right.
Yeah. And so and your people as in your customers as well as your staff, because they're ultimately the ones that pay for all of that. But you know, I want to talk to you about then segmenting, you know, for a store like a Good Guys, and I, you know, just in general, you know, an appliance store retailer, you're going to have a really broad range of people. So you're in a great position, right, to be able to provide this sort of educational, experiential event. What other sort of examples can you share with us that you've done with different people you've brought in?
Yeah. Some of the other shows we have will be around more lifestyle, diet and lifestyle. So we've got a paleo guru, Leah Williamson. So she runs Brisbane Paleo.
Yeah.
And she talks about her journey and the benefits, I guess, of adopting a paleo lifestyle. And then she'll, you know, go into the, the tips and the tricks and, you know, because a paleo lifestyle is obviously, I don't know if you know very much about it, but, it's kind of all whole foods and you make everything yourself. So highly, dependent really on appliances.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're making their own butters and milks and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So she goes into quite, quite detail about you know, what kind of produce that you can get away with buying organic and what you can't, and the benefits of, you know, bone broth and how to make the most nutritious ones and all that kind of stuff. So that's one example.
Yeah. So before we go on, I think that's a great thing too, because, you know, with something like paleo or another, I guess, style of lifestyle choice of eating, is that we do get lots of information about it. I think everyone to some degree has a certain amount of education about paleo, a certain amount, but it's normally something that we consume, but we don't get to have feedback. So an event, I expect, would be a great opportunity for people to ask questions and be able to interact. It's sort of being a little bit more two-way if people have questions or concerns, or, you know, can delve a little bit further there.
Yeah,
because it's face to face,
and there are lots of questions. And she actually has several different levels, of workshops that she delivers. So right from, you know, an introduction to paleo, what it's all about, what it even means, the kind of things you need to think about and consider, straight through to, you know, paleo for kids and, how to, you know, throw a paleo birthday party, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So there's lots of different angles there, I guess, of people's different needs.
Absolutely.
Within that.
And it that's probably one of our most popular, I suppose there's a few different levels of it. So, but yeah, it definitely has a lot of interest.
Yeah. Okay. So when I think about those events that you're running, I think about how that can be applied across industry. So let's, you know, if I think beyond appliances or electronics retailing, do you have any examples of who you can see does experiential advertising or advertising? Sorry, not experiential advertising. Experiential retailing or marketing, say in fashion well, or in hospitality well, or in other service-based businesses that you've evidenced, and you can see that it's doing wonders for business.
Yeah, well, I think you know, wine companies have always been very good at that. You know, in Brisbane, for instance, you can if you belong to certain wine clubs, they go out on the river, and, you know, they have this whole experience where they pair the wines with, you know, different things, and then you know, can buy the wine after that. But the whole experience is for free, and it's really to sort of immerse you in that wine culture, and they give you lots of knowledge about, you know, tannins and, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I guess it brings like-minded people together. So it creates a sort of a community that, as a side benefit to your business, is that, you know, it's connected through you.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
The conduit. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, restaurants as well. I mean, I know a few restaurants that, you know, will have special events throughout the year, that, you know, they'll talk about where they get their produce from, and, you know, that whole farm to table.
That education side of things.
Yeah. So, and a lot of times they do that stuff. I mean, if you go to the restaurant quite a bit, you know, they invite you to come along to try their new menu, and stuff like that. So I think those are great examples of really rewarding your customers, the ones that, you know, are a little bit engaged, but really getting them fully immersed in your brand, so that they're, you know, brand advocates and they go out and tell their friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't think of a better way that you can do that than be able to, I guess, connect, you know, physically by being in the same space, because there's no distractions like social media or, you know, say, you know, video content, all that other stuff, which is fantastic. Here, there's this really unique opportunity to connect in person, which is, you know, somewhat rare, right?
Right. Well, there is no stronger connection than the human connection.
That's right.
It's in our DNA. You know, from the caveman days, it's part of the reason that we were able to survive. So those who, you know, had connections with each other lived as a tribe. And the ones who didn't, they didn't make it. So all of that is actually quite a primal thing, and is as sophisticated as we think we are.
Yeah.
I think we all still really crave that, you know, human connection.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if you can bring people together who have an interest in the same sort of topics.
Well, that's where the magic really happens, because as you can imagine, if you have a group of, you know, 30 or 40, let's go back to the heart, you know, example. You have a group of 30 or 40 people. They're about the same age. So-and-so has this condition and the other one has that. And next thing you know, they're, you know, swapping phone numbers and
yeah.
It is quite, it's quite interesting. And I suppose they're the ones, you know, their close friends are probably the same age as well.
Yeah.
So they'll be going out and, you know, telling their friends that they went to this wonderful experience and learned heaps, you know, at the Good Guys. So
you said earlier that when you tried this, it was a bit of an experiment and it worked. So when you say it worked, is it when we talk in marketing in terms of metrics and measurability, I would expect that this is a long-term initiative. So are there any metrics around it? How do you determine that as a result of these events or these experiences that you're generating, and sort of what time frame are we sort of expecting to see the results? What was your experience from what you had started?
Right. Well, I mean, my experience too, I suppose what my clients' experiences are, probably a little bit different. So because it was our store, I was able to measure for, you know, quite a significant amount of time.
Yes.
But, you know, from my client standpoint, there is still, data there is in terms of profitability and sales that happen then and there. So that's tracked. And the retailers can see the benefits of those right away.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one thing. And I suppose the longer term impact is all around, you know, that customer, you know, that the lifetime value of that customer.
Yes.
We were able to track that, and that is, you know, exponentially increases as people become more engaged.
Yes.
In fact, there's a really interesting study. You probably would be interested in it. It's all on the value of customer engagement. It was done by Rosetta, which is a big research firm, kind of like a Deloitte. And they did this whole study with, you know, I think it was over 8,000 consumers globally. So it wasn't just in America, although it is an American firm. They have offices all over. And they found that, you know, a truly engaged customer buys 90% more frequently. They spend 60% more in each transaction. And basically, they're worth three times more annually than a normal customer is. So there definitely is metrics around it, and it just depends on, you know, what you can measure in your business, I suppose.
Yes. Absolutely. Exactly. You know, that's part of the strategy, isn't it? In creating these events and mapping things out and measuring from there. But you're absolutely right, because the studies, even though they're done independently, that one, and there are numerous others over the last, you know, I've looked back through probably 20 years, I would say, and they consistently come back with those sort of results. Like, they're staggering about how important customer engagement is. And I guess when you're in the midst of your business and things are tough, it's easy to go to quick attracting tactics to try to get people in the door for that instantaneous sale or that short-term sale. But this is about creating a sustainable business, right? Putting things into place that are going to, that can incrementally see progress, but it's part of a bigger plan.
Absolutely. And I think that's the, I think that's the key is in those early days when I was doing this experiment, our return on investment in marketing was absolute crap. We're just dumping millions of dollars into, you know, push advertising. And, you know, in the old days, that worked pretty well. You know, as soon as you did a campaign, you would see more people come through the door. Those tickers would go over and, you know, your sales would increase and your profit might be down slightly. But, you know, you would see a benefit. But these days, the return on investment on that push marketing is really dismal, I feel. And I'm not saying to abandon that altogether because I think it does, I think it has its place in the whole marketing mix. But I think for a deep engagement with your customers and to have a longer term strategy, I definitely think you need to put them on a journey, on, you know, some type of experiential journey, whatever that is for your business.
Yeah. So if I think of a business like Good Guys or a big appliance store, that's essential. You know, the advertising, print and TV and general media is essential because that brand awareness element is key, right? Because
you've got to be top of mind.
Top of mind. You've got a big footprint to fill. You've got all that inventory there. You've got to sell it. So it's essential. But this is about that next step beyond, I guess, what is the traditional type of, yeah, push advertising, as you say, push marketing.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you around planning. So, you know, you what you do is you actually hire the right people or you find the right people, don't you? Is that how retail rock stars work based on the type of business people have and you help generate the type of talent or event that they should be creating? Is that what you do?
So we've got quite a few rock stars that already have established shows. And I guess you could call those, you know, it's sort of a experience out of the box. Mm-hmm. Type thing.
Sure.
But of course there are always retailers that, you know, they have a different product type. They're not in, most of those, out of the box type shows are around, technology, cooking and diet and lifestyle, you know, that whole sort of genre. But for things that are outside of that scope, we look at the requirements needed for the experience and then, build
it from there.
Experience. Yeah.
And so for someone who's listening today, who's got a retail store or a service-based business and they're looking to create an experience, how would you say they plan out and map things out? Would you say that you create like a year-long calendar where you schedule things incrementally? How much is too much? What's your advice around scheduling these sort of things? And I guess season's important too, right?
Potentially. Seasons are really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, really important. Look, I think from a retailing standpoint, you definitely want to keep in with those customers that are already engaged. So I think it's important to have a regular experience.
Yeah, so to keep having those touch points as like a follow-on, like you said, with the paleo.
Yeah, so I like to see that every, you know, at least 4 weeks. That's from a retailing standpoint. Some of my clients do it every 3 weeks. And then some, you know, are more like, you know, 6 to 8. But I think it sort of depends on your business as well. So, if you're a service business and you have customers or clients that are, you know, they don't see you very often. Mm-hmm. I think you could get away with, you know, a quarterly or a monthly kind of thing. And that's really just to, as we said before, it's kind of to keep you in mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're obviously, getting that reciprocity gene in getting some value from you. And so the next time they do need something, you know, they don't even sort of think twice. They're going to come right back to you. I guess it's kind of, you know, how long's a piece of string. It would vary, you know, depending on how often people are engaged with you, you know. I mean, from a sales standpoint, for instance, like a grocery store, you know, you're there every week almost.
Yes.
I think, you know, that you need to start ramping it up even more, because when people have to go and buy things all the time, and there, you know, it's a vast mountain of product selection there.
So I'm just thinking, to start with a business, it would, like you suggested, maybe quarterly, and then asking for feedback. Is there any value in asking for feedback about what people would want? Because I'm thinking about as the next step event, that could actually generate something that would have more, I guess, potential for growth.
Yeah, we ask that at the end of every event we have.
Great.
That is critical. And you get some really great ideas out of it too. And you know, when several people say the same thing, you know, you're onto something. So it's important to kind of know what your experience or what your customers are into, because those are usually the indicators as to, you know, where their interests are and what's going to work for them.
And what's your thought on free versus paid? Because some people create events for their business that helps create that connectivity, and there's a huge value add component to it, but they charge, versus free. What do you think?
Well, again, I think it depends on the business.
So let's let's talk about a retail store from your experience. What do you think?
Well, I think from a retail aspect, retailing is a pretty tough gig.
Sure.
If any customer is the age of the customer, it is certainly the retailing customer. So I think from that standpoint, most people would not be willing, to pay, unless, you know, it was a really substantial, you know, with perhaps a celebrity and a one-to-one experience, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So I think most people wouldn't pay.
Because it's really about maximizing, you know, as many people to come to this event, isn't it? So
that's right.
The free element is what will increase your numbers, and yeah,
it will. And you know, as you probably know, whenever you say free, you also do get, you know, a drop off as well. So that increases as soon as that ticket
in terms of people who actually turn up on the day.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we usually see, like in an appliance retailing environment, we usually see about an 18% drop off.
Oh, that's
of the
all right.
Tickets.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just make sure we have more RSVPs than space, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And it always, it so far it hasn't, you know, it hasn't created any issues.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. Okay, this is fantastic stuff. I'm sure people who are listening are enjoying and probably starting to think about what they could be doing to be value adding and to be developing that connection in their businesses as well. Now, let's talk about probably what would you say is your best example of most successful customer engagement? What's the feedback that you're getting? What's the results that you're getting that that you think would probably be a standout?
As far as what kind of show you mean? What kind of experience that we've delivered?
Well, what's been the result or the feedback from any event that you think stands out as probably the most successful?
Well, I'm a bit of a softie, and I kind of like the emotional things.
Yeah.
So what immediately came to my mind when you asked me that question is I had one of my clients approach me and say, I just cannot believe I had, you know, a receiving, it was like a Greek wedding, you know, he had this receiving line of people waiting to talk to him. and this woman came up to him and she started crying. And she said, "Oh my gosh, you know, I've just been diagnosed with this disease. And, it's the same thing that this woman had." Leah from the paleo show had, Hashimoto's, I believe is what it's called.
Okay.
And so she kind of talked about that in the beginning and this woman had that and she starts crying and he couldn't believe it. He said, "Wow, you know, I never in a million years would have dreamt that having these workshops in the store would mean that much, you know, to some of my customers."
This is a store owner.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He owned the store. Yeah. So wow. I thought, wow, you know, that's pretty cool that you can help people, I suppose.
And that's what it's about. And I guess there's real benefit in thinking about the people that you service or the people that you look after and thinking about the potential pain points. Like as you said with her heart health, there's a bunch of people who are our clients and these are real pain points for them. They're potential, you know, issues for them. So let's tap into it. That's great.
Well, you know, those are the, Angela was saying those are the most prescribed medications on the planet.
Wow.
And so, you know, to keep people off of those for her was, you know, sort of her, I suppose, pie in the sky goal.
Yes.
Was to keep people so healthy that they don't have to go on those medications because apparently they're not really that great for you.
Sure,
I like those lofty goals.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'm thinking about that woman who probably thought she was just coming along for, you know, a little bit of education and ended up getting a whole lot more.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I always brief the rock stars and say, you know, you really need to over deliver on this. You need to prepare this that, you know, somebody would pay several hundred dollars to come to see this event.
Yeah.
So, you know, we typically will do free ebooks and, you know, there's always like a little surprise once the attendees arrive. So
there's a little bonus on the end.
Yeah. We like to over delight.
Yeah. Fantastic. It sounds like you do just that. Now, let's finish up with talking about something that you're working on at the moment that you're really excited about that you're all right to share with us.
Righto. Well, I suppose one of the things I'm working on is called Rockstar Academy.
Oh.
And that is for, I suppose, the budding expert.
Yes.
You know, they may be a nutritionist or, you know, their practice, you know, they've only been around for a couple years or something. And it sort of leads them through the presentation and the, you know, art of storytelling and the theater, I suppose, of retailing.
Yeah.
Helps them along to, you know, build a really, really engaging show that, that keeps people on the edge of their seat and over delights and all those things.
Wow. That sounds fantastic. And so that way you get to qualify them and you can make sure that they are going to be a right fit for the businesses that you connect them with. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, finding these amazing people is, you know, that's a pretty big endeavor in itself.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, so I'm constantly trying to find new talent. So if you know anyone, go to retailrockstars.com.au.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who've got heaps of valuable information to share. So that sounds really exciting. Okay, so but you said the website, retailrockstars.com.au, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And where else can we find you on social media and anywhere else?
Yeah, so on Facebook, it's Retail Rockstars as well. On Twitter, it's @retail_rockstar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also on Instagram.
Excellent.
Under Retail Rockstars. That's got a lot of food and
yes, I've seen those pictures. They are good. Check out that. Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of shots of your shows too that you've organized as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, I'm sure everyone's brains are just spinning with ideas. How can I create this and how can I put this into my business and perhaps even call Amy to have a chat about who she can provide for you. But I think this is just such an untapped opportunity, Amy. So thank you for sharing your knowledge around what's involved and the value in it and for putting it front of mind for us to implement in our businesses as well. So thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Mel. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Customer Centric Show. For additional smart ways to attract more customers, profits, and freedom, head on over to the website www.customercentricshow.com.